Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our reading today is from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Mark's Gospel doesn't seem to really care about the very human need to fill in all the gaps. In fact, Mark's Gospel gives us a full two sentences about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Two sentences. Nothing about the content of the temptation. Nothing about Satan quoting scripture to invite misappropriation of God's word. Nothing about sleeping arrangements. What Mark tells us is that after Jesus is baptized, immediately after the heavens are ripped open and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and a voice speaks to Jesus alone, that very same Holy Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness. Jesus was there for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. There were wild beasts with him. In Mark's Gospel, angels waited on him. Now, there is more there than some of the other Gospels, where in those other Gospels, Jesus is, well, apparently out there all on his own. For Mark, Jesus has animals and angels walking with him. Now, I've heard stories of preachers who make a big deal about how Satan lays in wait for the faithful to make a, well, faithful move. And then when people make that decisive move that toward God's desired future, Satan pounces with temptations, with challenges, with tribulations. To be sure, many experience something like that. New Year's resolutions for those who make them are a classic reminder of this pattern. One makes a resolution for a month, maybe 6 weeks. One can keep the commitment, but soon other things start calling, getting in the way, challenging the resolve. Personally, I don't generally make resolutions, but I've started enough efforts to let go of excess weight, to increase exercise, to set aside more time for intentional prayer, to read through the Bible, to know that as soon as I make the commitment, there are siren songs calling me into the cliff. Perhaps that is part of what is happening in Mark's gospel. By not getting into the details, the author allows each one of us to imagine and note our own ways that when we commit ourselves to the reign of God, roadblocks crop up. When I was attending weekly aftercare meetings as part of my drug and alcohol treatment program, the counselor spent one session talking about decisions people make that can lead to relapse. He noted that an alcoholic who decided that when his daughter got married, well, that would be a time to celebrate with just one drink to toast. He noted several other ways that people make those micro decisions, sometimes without knowing it, that that bring the whole thing down. One 12-step organization says pretty plainly, one is too many and 1,000 never enough. But my counselor's point was deeper than that. His point was that the big crises generally don't bring a relapse in the moment. And the image that he evoked was one of finding self at a point of powerful crisis, where it's obvious what one needs to do. One doesn't stop and take a drink at that point, he said. Rather, you get out of the way of the danger. His point is that the dangerous decisions are the little things, the micro decisions that seem safe enough. 25 years ago, I asked my pastor whether gay and lesbian individuals, particularly those who were partnered by whatever name, were welcome at church. His response was non-committal. This was after the Conference of Bishops of the ELCA had clearly stated in a pastoral letter that indeed gay and lesbian people are welcome. Though at that time, marriage and serving as a married gay or lesbian was not allowed. When I was in seminary shortly after the murder of Matthew Shepard, I took a class in readings in human sexuality. I wanted to take a middle ground position to trust that what I believed was God's gracious desire for inclusion and affirmation would emerge naturally over time. At that time, 20 years ago, classmates challenged me. They reminded me that too many people are, well, being murdered or abused or even taking their lives by their own hand for the church. the church not to take a clear position for God's care and love for them. And throughout my 19 years of ministry, I have failed by not taking clear positions, by seeking to let people and congregations work their own way through. And last March 15th, I was challenged to think carefully about who I am protecting by taking that approach. You see, my temptation, my sin, is one of seeking to keep the peace rather than speak up for what I see as right. The peace-mongering is dangerous for me and for my leadership. It brings micro-decisions that can move me farther and farther away from what I know and what I believe to be God's desire, that all people, everyone, know God's love. For well over 25 years, I have believed that the LGBTQ community should know they are welcome, and they should know God's presence and God's promises and God's love and affirmation. Keeping the peace in so many forms is my temptation. I cannot speak for anyone else's. Perhaps Mark gives each one of the faithful an opportunity to ponder how they are living out their baptismal covenant relationship. A relationship that lives in the difficult spaces of temptation, but a relationship that is grounded in God's covenant with us, that we live among God's faithful people, that we hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, that we share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and deed, that we serve all people following the example of Christ Jesus, that we seek justice and peace in all the earth.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.